Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is such a lovely Thursday night as we go live here on the channel. Why not a doubleheader on Ryer on YouTube? And we're going to get things going on this Thursday night with Second Helping, the show of choice for fans and followers of the number one league in all of collegiate athletics, the Southeastern Conference. I got my great friend and co-host Brent Beard right here, a longtime college football analyst for First Coast News, among others. And then, of course, you can probably see there the show mascot, the one, the only Brent Beard, Chino, checking in as he likes to. Yes.
Travi heard your voice, and he's on the desk, and he's ready to go in a coma-like state before you heard your voice. But, you know,
it's usually the other way. The voice usually leads to coma-type states. But we're always happy to have Chino join us here on the program. Brent, we've got some college basketball to talk, as we've got two participants in this year's Final Four for the men's basketball tournament, the Florida Gators and the Auburn Tigers. One thing we're assured of, Brent, an SEC team will play for the national championship in San Antonio on Monday night because, well, we got the Tigers and the Gators in a rematch from that game in early February in Auburn, where Florida, without Elijah Martin, very impressive in a win over the Tigers. Auburn takes care of Michigan State in the regional final in Atlanta. The Gators, I think the Gators had more resistance, maybe, Brent, than some folks had anticipated. But could that be a good thing for this Florida team? When you look at this all one seed Final Four and you anticipate the games once again coming down to the final few moments.
Florida really has been steeled, I believe, by these last two games. Now they've had their fans on the edge of their seat because of that, but big wins over UConn and also the win over Texas Tech. And just really, now you can't keep doing that because you're playing with fire. So the question is, will they be ready to play for the entire game and be able to play better? Now what I'm going to be curious at, and this is my key for this game, Travis, you know, in that first game with Florida winning, the Florida bigs really bothered Broome.
Yeah.
They caused him to alter his shot, which meant a lot, some of those bunnies within 3 feet of the basket did not go in. So my question for us, Trav, is will Florida go back to that philosophy and that strategy against Auburn? Because frankly, as Broome goes, so do the Tigers.
Yeah, I mean, he is without question one of the top two or three overall players in all of college basketball this season. Fortunately for the Gators, they answer with one of those kind of guys too at a different position in Walter Clayton Jr. And in a couple of these games in the tournament, UConn, Texas Tech, it's felt like for a while you're wondering, where's Walter Clayton?
Really?
But when he's needed to put on his cape, he has done it, and he has been big in big, big moments. And look, he's got a couple of guys in that backcourt with him, Elijah Martin, Will Richard, big-time players in their own right. I agree with you in terms of Florida's size. The first time these teams played, Auburn loves to get up into you and cause problems and get physical. But I thought in the first matchup, what you saw was Florida was not bothered much at all. After a little bit of a slow start to that game, once they got into rhythm, they were comfortable throwing over the top of Auburn, moving the basketball. That's the thing that continues to stand out to me about Florida is the selflessness that they play with.
Yes.
They can do it one-on-one if they have to with guys like Clayton and Martin. And then they got the versatility and their size with guys like Condon and some others. But they can beat you in multiple ways. That's why they were my pick going into this NCAA tournament to cut down the nets in San Antonio. And I know they've had a couple of close games that we maybe didn't anticipate as much. But as we talked about, steel sharpening steel, iron sharpening iron, whatever. I think Florida maybe is going to benefit from that because I anticipate this matchup with Auburn being very, very tight. And, you know, we talk about Martin and we talk about Richard. and they're kind of complementary players. And I think that's what it's going to be so important for Auburn. You know, the Chad Baker Mazzaras, the Denver Joneses, the Tahad Pettifort, the fantastic freshman for Auburn. You know, how do these guys perform? Dylan Cardwell, versatility on defense is immense. This is a guy 6'11", 7 foot, whatever, can go out on the perimeter and take on the basketball if he needs to. You know, you got a guy like Ruben Chinalu for Florida and what he brings in terms of mass and physicality down in the paint. So we get so caught up in the star power. And again, both these teams have that.
Yeah.
But I think what it ultimately goes back to is how those pieces around those stars like Clayton and Broome play on Saturday night in San Antonio and how that impacts their team's chances of moving to that title game.
Well, let me add one more guy to that, Trav, and that's Thomas Hawk, who knocked down a couple of threes. I think that, to me, these bigs for Florida and their athleticism and the ability to rebound, but these guys aren't afraid to step beyond the line and knock a couple of them down.
Yeah,
absolutely. And Hawk basically had two threes, made it a 6-point game, which frankly was huge. And the guy you mentioned a minute ago, the Pettifort kid for Auburn,
is dynamic.
With really a capital incredible.
D. Yeah. Yeah, he and you talk about two true freshmen in one state, LeBaron Filon of Alabama and Pettifort for Auburn. Boy, just big time young talents. And you're right though about I think again, you know, Dylan Cardwell, great defender, you know, can give you a presence in the paint, but he's not going to step outside and beat you from three. Now Broome can do that.
Yeah,
you got to check Broome. That's what's a big part of what makes him so difficult to defend. And it looks like, by the way, he's good to go. I know today we heard from him and he said he's 100%, no problems. He had what looked like could have been a dire double type of injury in that win over Michigan State in Atlanta, where he came down awkwardly on the foot and then the elbow looked like it hyperextended. I know there was a lot of talk during the broadcast that he had mouthed the words "I'm done" to Bruce Pearl. I thought he said "I'm good," but they took him back, and apparently he was, because he came back. And you know, Auburn's had several scares like that with him this season.
Yeah.
But it looks like the Tigers are going to be in good shape. Again, I've picked Florida since before the tournament. I'm not changing now. It's not even so much just because of what we saw Florida do to Auburn on the Plains on February the 8th. I just think there's more ways that Florida can beat you. I think they're better defensively than they probably are given credit for. And they will have Martin this time around.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It should make them even tougher to deal with.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. And obviously for our audience, we focus on Auburn and Florida. But, Trav, I'm telling you, in that other game are two of the toughest teams in the nation. And if people don't understand that, I'm curious if you saw this. They showed a little bit of a clip of a Houston practice. And I'm sure teams do this, and we don't see it very often. Trav, there was no dribbling. There was no shooting. What it was, they threw a ball out on the court, and the goal was to dive on the floor and get the ball.
Yeah. And I'll say it. I don't know if it's an era that we're entering into, but it seems like the last year or two in college basketball – there are less guys that are willing to get on the floor.
Yes.
And there are less guys that are willing to step in front of the ball and take a charge.
Absolutely. I mean,
it just seems like the ball is more effortlessly getting to the paint and getting to the basket than it has ever before. Unless we're talking about Houston.
Yeah.
Because that's not the way you're going to play against a Kelvin Sampson coach team.
No.
A guy that isn't talked about enough in terms of Hall of Fame type of
Absolutely.
Achievement hasn't won it all at this point. Mm-hmm. I guess we are going to have a first-time national championship coach to come out of this Final Four. But Tennessee prides itself on toughness.
Yeah.
And Houston was incredibly tougher than Tennessee in that regional final, I think, in Indianapolis. So not a fun matchup with Houston. That's why the Duke-Houston matchup is going to be so much fun.
It really will.
It's because Duke traditionally is more of a pretty style of basketball.
Yeah.
But I will say this for Duke, and I didn't see it maybe as much earlier in the season, and I thought it's why they wouldn't even get to this point. But unlike some of these recent teams, either K's final teams or, you know, what Shire has put out there the first couple of three seasons, they're a tough basketball team, too. They play with an edge. They've got size across the board. That caused a lot of problems for Alabama and some of those smaller guards like Mark Sears. And that was a disappointing end, not only for Alabama, but for Tennessee. Not so much that they lost in the regional finals, but they really weren't exceptionally competitive, Brent, in either of those games.
No, I agree with that. And I will say this for Duke. And Nick Saban talked about this a lot when he was in Alabama. You got to be willing to do the little things to win. Well, I can tell you Duke will do the little things.
This team will. Yeah, from what I've seen, I saw Cooper Flagg, for Duke, the unanimous choice to be the number one overall selection as a one and done in the upcoming NBA draft. Take a charge against Alabama.
You sure did.
I don't see anybody from Alabama taking charges this year.
No.
You know, or stepping in front of somebody. But I saw Cooper Flagg do it, which if you're someone else on that team for Duke and you see Cooper Flagg taking a charge, what are you going to say to yourself? You know what?
Really?
Maybe I better take one. If the best player, not only on our team, but in all of college basketball is taking a charge, maybe I ought to step in front of the ball.
Yeah.
Try to
score. Oh, yeah. And let me mention a couple other quick things. One, to dovetail with the Tennessee thing, boy, this Final Four drought continues. 116 years of volunteer basketball, zero Final Four appearances.
And it means something to those people.
Yeah, you better believe it does.
I mean, those are big basketball people. I think a lot of folks maybe even equate it more to the Lady Vols because of what Pat Summitt built up there on that side. But no, they love the hoops. So that hurts.
It does.
That's that right there, Brent.
And I tell you another thing that happened that kind of went under the radar is Chris Beard staying at Ole Miss instead of going
to get into the coaching carousel with you. Yeah.
Instead of Texas A&M.
Buzz.
Now look, I like Buzz. I thought he, frankly, did a pretty good job. I think, help me on this. I think they got stale, and that Buzz decided he'd go to greener pastures. And A&M will be okay, but the reason I'm bringing this up is, Trav, Ole Miss doesn't win many battles like that, do they?
No, it almost came off like Beard probably really wanted to stay at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
But it was too easy to kind of get his money right.
Yeah, absolutely.
By being in that mix with Texas A&M and knowing A&M has the sort of resources that it has if it wants to go get that type of coach. So I'm sure Chris Beard did pretty well for himself.
Oh, yeah.
And all that in that exchange. But, yeah, Buzz Williams off to Maryland, which was interesting because a day or two before that, there had been some fake news out there about maybe Nate Oates having some interest from Alabama and going to Maryland. But, you know, Buzz strikes me as a guy that after 5 or 6 years, it can get a little stale.
Oh, yeah.
He's a guy that comes in a lot of energy. Says a lot of the right things in press conferences, can rally a fan base initially, but ultimately the results at Texas A&M, they want to get beyond the round of 32.
They do.
And I'll tell you something else that matters too, is style of play. And not that Texas A&M is a total rock fight type of situation, but toughness and all that stuff. Look at Rick Barnes.
Oh, yeah.
Toughness is fine when it gets you to the eight.
Yeah.
And rock fights are fine when they get you to the eight. But if you're not getting the final fours, you're still going to have some rumblings. Not that Rick Barnes should sense any type of heat for the job he's done at Tennessee. Mm-hmm. He's been a revelation for that program. But, you know, it's kind of been, you know, what would go on his coaching tombstone right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he gets you to the eight, but it's been a struggle to get over the top.
They had Dalton Connect that helped them last year from the scoring end of it, but that's something they've got to be able to improve. I mean, they were awful in the first half of their last game. So, but no, I mean, Tennessee certainly is established. Them being able to go to the Elite Eight and tell you somebody else who's established that is Nate Oates, in Alabama. And I'll be brief about this, but certainly a disappointing end of the season. Trev, there's no way in the world that you can play a game like Alabama did and have your head still in the clouds and 2 days later play Duke, who they're not impressed with that at all, and Duke imposed their will in that game. But still, I think for Bama fans, they need to be very optimistic about where the program is going. Nate Oates has really set a precedent for this entire program. He deserves a new contract for that. It'll be interesting to see what Greg Byrne does about it. There certainly should be some talk about the arena, but possibly a new arena. But what you and I are also interested in, and I won't get very deep into the weeds on this, but it's encouraging. Bama so far, 7 foot center from Bucknell. But Trev, the thing that really stuck out to me is Nate Oates said, we need bigger, taller guards. And I'm going to be very interested to see where that goes.
Yeah, they got locked up by Duke. And, you know, when they tried to get into the paint, or they did get into the paint, guys like Mark Sears or LeBaron Filon, they were basically smothered once they got there.
Yes.
And probably didn't have a good enough plan going into that game. I talked with Chase Goodbread about this on our Talking Tide show.
Yes.
It was going to be critical for Alabama guards to get in the paint as much with a plan for the pitch out once they got there.
Absolutely.
Because with all the size, finishing against that Duke team, unless Duke got into foul trouble, was going to be especially tough. So once you got into the paint, to get clear looks at threes, that's how that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Because Duke wasn't going to guard Alabama like BYU did.
No.
BYU, which I don't know whether to give BYU credit for this or laugh, was to let Alabama shoot the threes.
Right.
And look, part of me gets that because this was an Alabama team this season that didn't shoot the three particularly well.
They didn't.
But if you let Alabama shoot open threes, there's the potential for them to make 25 in a game, which is what they did in the round of 16. Mm-hmm. But you knew that wasn't going to be the case against BYU. I mean, against Duke. Duke was going to run them off the line and run them into the paint and say, look, if you can finish over our 7'2 freshman who has about a 35-foot wingspan,
really,
good luck on that. But also, you know, they've got length with Flag. They've got length with Knipple. You know, they're a tough team to finish at the rim against, and they're connected on defense. Just because you beat one guy, there's going to be another one waiting on you, or, you know, a couple perhaps. So look, give Duke all the credit. And you're right, Nate has set that thing at such a high standard now where it's Elite Eight or bust. It's anything short of a Final Four is, it's not a disappointment, but you could be disappointed, especially with this team, because it was set up. It was put together not just with a Final Four in mind, but perhaps the national championship as well. Well, Brent, you want to talk some college football?
No, absolutely.
Thursday night? I know you do. I know I don't have to twist your arm
when
it comes to that, you know, and you always have the great notes. And boy, when I look at these Heisman favorites that you sent me, strong. SEC flavor. Especially when you talk about the quarterback position and some guys coming back from last year, new starter. And how about Arch Manning as the favorite at 8-1?
Oh, yeah.
Hasn't started a game yet. Garrett Nussmeier up there at 10-1, Nico at 18-1, Lenore Sellers 22-1, DJ Lagway 25-1, and even John Mateer, Washington State transfer, now at Oklahoma up there at 35-1.
Yeah. And Julian Sang in there, but people looking at that list are thinking, who is that? Well, he was a fabulous quarterback coming out of California, went to Alabama.
He was at Alabama for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, he was.
Practices. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then obviously ended up at Ohio State. Now, Carson Beck's on the list, but we have no idea where that's going with his surgery. And Trav, you and I both think he probably won't win. But probably the best one of all is Jeremiah Smith at 16-1 from Ohio State.
Hey, what the hey, right?
That's right.
You know, it's that time of year. You see a little value, maybe you can put a few bucks down and look good in about 9 months' time. But let's move around the SEC a little bit. We know Alabama has had its first scrimmage, and it's been interesting, kind of buzz coming out of Alabama spring practice so far, because a lot of it was on the younger players, new players going in. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like at quarterback, the guy that you probably should have anticipated being in a pretty good spot at this point, given his time in that program, looks like Ty Simpson is doing what he needs to do right now in that battle to replace Jalen Milroe. But yeah, some freshmen and some other impressive performances so far in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, and again, not much coming out of scrimmage, but there are enough reports to kind of being able to piece this together. And look, if you're Ty Simpson and this is year three, that's what you need to do. You need to grab it by the reins and understand he threw three or four touchdowns to the Horton kid at wide receiver out of Miami, who has been getting rave reviews. Keelon Russell, the true freshman's got a few looks himself. Some other guys, DeJon Lee, Latoris Brooks coming off well as freshman. Cameron Howard had a good scrimmage. The interesting thing here is, depending on how the Trev, I'm just wondering out loud here where this quarterback room is going for Alabama. With Simpson being the guy and Keelon Russell being the freshman, I know your eagle eye has already looked at this probably. Trav, does Austin Mack, does he stay in that quarterback room, or does he look for greener pasture?
He's interesting because, he came over with Kalen DeBoer from Washington.
That's right.
This wasn't an inherited guy.
No.
So if there is a guy in that scenario that you might see waited out a little bit more, it would seem to be Austin Mack because he's a Kalen DeBoer, Ryan Grubb guy.
Yeah.
He was an eval by those guys. He was a take by those guys at Washington. That being said, if he comes out of spring as the three and not the two, I think that's the key for Austin Mack.
Great point. Yeah,
I think if he comes out as the three after Keelan Russell's been on campus for 2 months, it may be hard to look away from that transfer portal. You know, you get caught looking at it. It can stun you a little bit. Tex Tider, by the way, checking in here. Howdy, boys. Long time. How's it going, Tex? Good to
appreciate
see you
here in
the show chat. If you'd like to chime in, we're live, so you can do that. But yeah, that will be fascinating. And then, you know, how do you maintain your quarterback numbers?
Yes.
How do you go out and get a true three that knows he's a three?
Mm-hmm.
Unless he's a young guy that's a developmental guy, kind of like Mac. Still some things that can happen, so we'll see. But sounds like Simpson is off to a very, very strong first half or so of spring drills at the University of Alabama. Hey, Brent, the seventh-year guys are something else. And I know Florida has one, or potentially has one. Now, we talk about Washington transfers. That's what Asa Turner was going to Florida a year ago as a transfer from Washington. He had a season-ending injury, I think, in the opener against Miami. It was very early in the season in general. a year ago, but apparently he is now qualified. The safety has for a seventh year. I guess the good news for Florida is that if you really like Asa Turner,
mm-hmm.
then there's that potential to bring him back. But that being said, you know, the other good news for Florida is that it seems like that program is developing to a point where it may not need a veteran DB coming off a significant injury from a year ago.
Well, and Trav, you and I have spent a career in the media interpreting what coaches say. So here's your quote. He's been granted an extra year of eligibility, and I think his role on our team and his health is a little bit to be determined.
Yeah. Sounds a little like John Emery, a little bit.
Yes, yes. But I think in general, it's a good thing for him. So what does that tell you, Trav?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what we were just talking about for Asa Turner. So, again, I think it's good news either way if you're Florida. If you need him, maybe you can bring him back. But the other good side of that is it sounds like Florida is getting to a point as a program or turning to a point where it may not be putting a lot of eggs in the boat of a seventh-year senior coming off a pretty significant injury. What about this Georgia offense? Boy, there's been no offense in the offseason that's been the subject of discussion, really, right? Yeah. Like the Georgia Bulldogs, from Mike Bobo's status, and when will Kirby finally move on from his bro? And but it sounds like in the first scrimmage of the spring anyway, had to like some of the things that Georgia fans are hearing about the quarterback, not just Gunnar Stockton either.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Ryan Pulisky is also getting a little bit of work. He had a nice throw with Taylan Taylor that worked out. Now, look, the guy that is sticking out, and you told us about this guy months ago, was Zachariah Branch.
Yeah. USC transfer.
He may really be an incredible improvement for this wide receiver room. Now, Lawson Lucky, a tight end, had a good catch. Elias Williams. But they've got to get better. And I'm sure they've laid down the law with these receivers. They can't go through that again, what they did last year. So, but it is obvious, and they're trying to downplay everybody right now. But Zachariah Branch has got everybody's attention.
Yeah, Zach Branch can be used in ways that Georgia has used maybe Dylan Bell in the past, or even Brock Bowers. Even though Brock was a tight end, but Branch is that kind of guy. And that's before we even talk about the return game, what he can bring to that. But it sounds like Bobo is quickly figured out that, let's move this guy around. And also let's get him the ball in different ways. Yeah. Sounds like he had a big play off of a screen. And essentially what you're doing in those scenarios is turning an offensive play into a punt return.
Sure.
Getting the ball quick in space and then kind of letting do his thing, no doubt. Zach Branch, along with his brother on the defensive side at Georgia, have a chance to really impact things. I feel like Zach Branch can do it not only on offense but in special teams as well. Hey, we talk about all these transfers, especially at the skill positions, and I know – Berrion Brown was one of those guys we anticipated in going from Kentucky down to LSU.
Yes. Listen, you and I have loved Brown for a while.
Yeah.
Brown can absolutely play. And to also dovetail with something you said about Branch, Trev, the thing that's impressive about Brown is what he can do in the return game.
Yep.
That's where he is incredibly dangerous. So if this LSU offense is better, I think that's going to make a big difference with that too. And since we're on LSU and we've got a fascinating Kentucky note coming up, but Trav, how about Jack Pyburn?
Part of transfer.
Yeah, some Gator fans' ears just pricked up a little bit. Having a very good spring so far. But this is a guy, look, this guy can play.
He can.
And he's not afraid to stick his nose into any situation. No. And make some and really come up with some tough situations. Can we say this guy could be a really good pickup for this LSU transfer?
Yeah, I mean, he was a really solid contributor to Florida.
He sure was
last season, and still a young player. Now, is he an every down guy? Yeah, you know, is he going to give you that pass rush on a consistent basis? You know, that remains to be seen, but that's some good news for a team that lost Bo Davis, its defensive line coach, to the National Football League's New Orleans Saints. But you never question Pyburn in terms of motor and those type of things.
Absolutely.
He's going to bring that every play. And he does seem to have a knack for being around the football a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a credit to him. I think he puts himself in the right situations on a consistent basis. That's the other side of this, though. Is he truly a dynamic type of three down end player, guy that you can use in different packages as you go from first down to second down to third down? But I'm not surprised to hear he's standing out for LSU, because LSU still had a need.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and absolutely. And a big, big reason why he's in Baton Rouge these days. So you mentioned Kentucky and quarterbacks that have been around the globe a little bit where college football is concerned. Tell us about that situation. You know, with Kentucky, it's like every year it's spend the transfer quarterback game and see who it lands on. But it's a pretty familiar name. And, hey, a guy who once upon a time, he got a win over the Alabama Crimson Tide, Nick Saban, didn't he?
Yeah, he sure did. Zach Calzadas, who we're talking about, he spent the last 2 years at Incarnate Word, had a cup of coffee at Auburn, but 7 years now as he comes in. Now, he is, my understanding is, you remember the name Cutter Bowley, Trav?
Yeah.
And then I give him credit. Bo Allen is still at Kentucky, considered maybe when they sign him as really being able to battle for the job. He's now battling for the third string job at this point. But
how's a guy at Kentucky with a name like Cutter Bowley not the starting quarterback? I mean,
yeah,
that sounds like he was straight out of Butcher Holler.
Yeah,
you know, like grew up in the same same rural grounds is Loretta Lynn or something.
Yeah.
You know? Cutter Bowley.
Well,
perfect name for a Kentucky quarterback.
I'll tell you somebody who's going to help whoever the quarterback is right now. Looks like it's going to be Calzada. Kendrick Law, familiar name that came from Bama, has made, as they put it, several contested catches and ran crisp routes all during spring practice. Trav, I know this doesn't surprise you a bit, does it?
No. I love Kendrick Law as a football player. Give me all the Kendrick Laws.
Yes.
I think where you wonder a little bit about Kendrick, and kind of like Zach Branch this way too, if you don't use him in kind of a Superman role, you're kind of wasting him as a true X or a Z receiver or just a wide receiver in general. You got to figure out ways to move him around, get him the football, because he can be a playmaker, really good special teams player too. I mean, it was part of me watching him at Alabama that thought, man, they should put this guy at safety. I think he could have done something like that. I think in high school he was that kind of player. But good for Kendrick, because I still believe he can be that Deebo Samuel type, sort of that all-around player that you can do things with. You can put him in the backfield, I think, and hand him the ball. Like as a straight up running back, just hand it to him, because he brings a physicality too that I know Mark Stoops and that staff are going to love quite a bit. As we move through here, Brent, talk to me about the Texas Longhorns and that wide receiver situation, because as you note here, Matthew Golden, Isaiah Bond, Silas Bolden, all moving on. So give us a guy or two that you're hearing out of Austin that might be stepping forward for Arch Manning.
Yeah, they Parker Livingston, for whatever reason to me, that's a great name for a wide receiver.
Perfect.
Has really 6'4". Trav, they love these tall receivers in Austin, do they not? Mm-hmm. Ran a 200 meter and well, what, 21.69, as a matter of fact. So he's certainly gotten some speed on him at this point. And to me, the two receivers who are kind of sticking out in the state of Texas, Parker Livingston is one, and the other guy, and they really need this, is KC Concepcion.
Yeah, they lost some production for sure.
At A&M, who came over from NC State. So, mm-hmm. Trav, how about there's two names that really may give the Horns and the Aggies some real help this year.
Yeah, KC Concepcion was a popular name in the portal. Yes. Race for some teams. I think even Alabama had some strong interest there at one point. Isaiah Horton, the Miami transfer, who's having a really nice spring, ended up with the Crimson Tide. But yeah, there was a need there for Texas A&M after a couple of significant departures via the transfer portal. And I know we don't talk enough about defense, but what about Missouri too? I wanted to ask you about in terms of, you know, what's that looking like for Corey Batoon in year two as a DC there in Como? And feels like there's going to be more put on that side of the ball maybe in 2025, because we all know Luther Burden, mm-hmm. Brady Cook, running back situation, OL. Going to be some things to figure out on offense. So defensively, they need to be better.
They really do. And Trev, I know our Florida Gator listeners will probably not like this either, but Chris McClellan, a defensive tackle, it was one of the better ones I had during the spring. Now, Missouri is already done. That they started. And now, to your point, Eli, who is not shy at all about giving his opinion, obviously, said, I think this is going to be, he's going to be my best defense.
Wow.
So, he's not shy about that at all.
Yeah, and it seems like Missouri starts spring practice on like January 3rd.
Yeah,
you know, every year.
Really. and
done by Valentine's Day, it feels like.
And also, he played against Alabama last year. When Drew Pine at quarterback has realized the writing on the wall and has entered the portal now as a grad transfer.
Drew's been around. He's been around a little bit.
Yeah, Notre Dame, Arizona State, Missouri, Trav.
Yeah. He's going to touch them all before he's grand slam this thing before it's all said and done. Hey, Brent, always great stuff with us here on Second Helping. Anything else before we get out of here?
One thing that also caught my eye, and we're not trying to make this an Alabama show, but their names have come up a lot. Would it surprise you at all? FSU defense coordinator saying Earl Little at DB making a lot of plays, Travis.
Yeah, Earl wasn't real patient with Alabama.
No, you know, he wasn't.
Never questioned that he had some ability. So maybe he's going to see his old team in that season opener as the Crimson Tide heads to Tally to take on the Seminoles. Coming up, it's coming up sooner and sooner.
That's right. And listen, one more thing, list of spring games. Most everybody plays on the 12th. Arkansas and A&M play on the 19th. Now, I hope our listeners will get this. I didn't think we'd ever see this right now, but in all these spring games, the only spring game travel on television on the SEC network is A&M on the 19th. Boy, if we could go back in time, even 5 years ago, we'd have never believed that, would we?
No. That's where we're at, though. The spring games are seemingly rapidly dwindling here. You know, we're gonna have like obstacle courses, like the Battle of the Network Stars from 100 years ago. We were younger, Brent.
Right,
I'm dating myself now, but tug of wars, you know, things like that.
Lord.
A lot of fun. Hey, Brent, again, always appreciate it, man. Always a lot of fun with you right here. And as Tex Titer's telling you right there on the screen, hit the thumbs up for us if you don't mind, folks. Hit that thumbs up. Hit that subscribe button for Ryer on YouTube and turn on that notification bell, because then you'll be alerted to all of our content as it drops right here on Ryer on YouTube. And coming up in just a minute or two, I'm going to talk with Chase Goodbread. Specifically, we're going to get into the Alabama Crimson Tide with Chase on Talking Tide. So a lot of stuff on the channel, but boy, Brent Beard, he brings it year in, year out, week in, week out. Brent, we've been doing this together since, what, 93 or so?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
That's unreal.
Yes. Well, I appreciate the, friendship, and as a proud new grandfather, going to see the young lad, this weekend. Cool. So really, really excited about him making the, and Trav, who knows what we may be talking about him one day. How about
that would be great. I would love it. I would absolutely love it. So Brent, safe travels up to the ATL, and we'll get together next week.
Can't wait, brother. Take care.
For Brent Beard, Travis Ryer, thanking you once again for joining us right here on Second Helping. Coming up right now on the channel, we'll talk Alabama Crimson Tide with Chase Goodbread, sports columnist for the Tuscaloosa News. For Brent, I'm Travis. Thanks again. Till next time. So long, everybody.